Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. And that is Alamo, you heard it correctly, the place to be on Sunday mornings. And if there's anyone you know who's looking for a new church home or just one to visit, we're located at 4071 North Foster Road. Anyone can join us any Sunday morning at 10:30. Everyone is welcome. Join us and worship with us. And if it looks good, try it. The scripture, hey, if it looks bad, try it twice. The scripture for the opening of our worship this morning is verses 1 through 12 of Psalm 66, taken from the New Revised Standard Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you. Sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds among mortals. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch over all the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept among us the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs. You let people rule over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out into a spacious place. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us prepare our hearts for prayer this morning. We give thanks to you, O gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. O Lord, you give us one more chance, one more day, one more Sunday to worship. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died for our sins. We thank you, Lord, that we can come and worship in peace, Lord, and not worry about any retaliation. O Lord, but we know, Lord, that when the storm comes, you're with us, and we thank you for it. And Lord, we ask that you would be with us this morning and help us, Lord, to worship the right way. Where our hearts are stony, turn them, Lord, into good ground, Lord, so that they may receive the word. And we give you all the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand for our opening hymn? Immortal, invisible, God only wise.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, indescribable, incomparable, how blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise, unresting, unhearing, and silent as light. Nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains, high soaring above. Thy blood which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
We have three birthdays this week and one anniversary. The first one is for Sandra Bundick on the 12th. Happy birthday to Sandy. And the next one is on the 14th for Peggy Morris. And then also on that same day, James and Barbara Whitney have an anniversary. And then on the 16th, James Murphy has a birthday. So let us sing happy birthday on the count of three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more. Okay, I have one special announcement. The women of Alamo, save the date, November 5th, a woman's mini-retreat here at Alamo United Methodist Church from 9:30 to 2:30 with lunch. Also, spiritual food, fun, and fellowship. More details to come October 23rd. Let's...
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lord Jesus, we rely on you completely to survive the storms of life. Because of you, we are confident that our foundation will remain secure even when the rain, rising waters, and winds come to test us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lance. I have one more announcement to make. If you look in front of you, on the back of the chair in front of you, the forms for the prayer requests are there. So if you have anything that you want announced or put on the bulletin, go ahead and fill those out and then put them in the offering in the offering plate. Thank you.
Now is the time that we give back but a portion of the body that God has given to each of us. Pray with me. Merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, you are the source, you are the giver. We are challenged at times to use the resources that you have given us for the purpose that they are intended. We get caught up in so much, but we know that you require so little in return. We ask, Lord, that as we give back but a small portion of the bounty that you've given to each of us, that you take our tithes and our offerings, multiply them, and use them to further your kingdom here on earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning, family. The scripture today comes from Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27, the wise and the foolish builders. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm listening at the choir and they're just singing their hearts out, and you're out there going, would you stand with us please and join in? Amen. Sorry, that's just a great song. Go ahead. That's just a great song. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I've been preempted a lot, but not like that.
Amen. That's a great song. Thank you.
marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, how I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Man, well done. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Thank you. Thank you, church. Good morning. Yeah, that was great. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We come before you, God, and pray you will grant us your wisdom and knowledge. Teach us to discern the truth. Lead and guide us to live in a way that is pleasing and acceptable to you. Humbly, we offer ourselves to be a house where you can dwell. Amen. In Jesus Christ's name.
If you would, please join me in our affirmation of faith. 1 Timothy. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen. And let us prepare for the message that the Holy Spirit as will deliver through Pastor Ted. Pray with me. Father, we come seeking, we come searching, we come thirsting for your word. We ask, Lord, that you strengthen Pastor Ted, that you use him as the instrument of your spirit. Let your words be his words, Lord. And let them burn within each of us. Let them burn so much that we cannot hold them inside. Let us be the vessels that take your word to a hurting world. These things we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Ted, it's time for you to get up here and preach. These folks want to hear a word from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I have a word from the Lord this morning. It comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And it talks about the storms of life, but more specifically, when the storm comes. Whether you would agree with me or not, the storms of life, oh, they're coming. And when they do, only Jesus will prevail as the firm and secure anchor. So we welcome you today as we continue in our anchor series this morning. And I'd just like to take a moment here to reflect on what we've already covered. Now, if you remember in week one, we talked about in Hebrews 6:19, and the idea of being anchored to hope. Last week, we talked about the necessity of having a firm and secure hold on the anchor of hope. And today, we're going to speak bluntly and plainly about the fact that we live in a world where storms will come, which highlights the necessity of us having an anchor. So I'll say again, it's not just a matter of if, it's a matter of when. The storms are coming, and there will be suffering, there will be pain and adversity. And when we are faced with any of these, we need to be prepared beforehand, ready for whatever may come our way. So I just can't imagine being on a ship ever leaving a port without an anchor on hand. So why in the world are so many of us just floating through life with no real direction, no plan for adversity, and no anchor on board? Perhaps we don't see the need. Maybe we never really had to plan ahead. Maybe we've had a pretty easy life and we don't think too often about hardship or suffering. Whatever this cause may be, it's not just a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And when the storm comes, my question for you this morning is, or for us, what in the world are we going to do? What are we going to do? So thankfully, Jesus had some thoughts on this matter. So if we look at Matthew chapter 6 last week and how it related to the hope we have in the kingdom of God, this week we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 7 and how it relates to having hope in the midst of a storm. So in Matthew 7, 24 through 37, our Lord is putting an exclamation point on the previous teachings he did in chapters 5 through 7. These teachings are called the Sermon on the Mount. And there are many who believe that this is, for many reasons, the greatest sermon ever preached. And I am one who believe that this is the greatest one. So for hundreds of years, it's been commented on, it's been torn apart, picked apart, scrutinized, and countless books have been written about it. And at the conclusion of Jesus' greatest sermon, he gives us this short section at 24 through 27, at the end of chapter 7, which compares two builders, one who builds on a solid rock and the other who builds on sand. Now, in both these cases, the builders, they heard God's word. Unfortunately, only one builder acted upon them and responded to the teachings of Christ. Dear one, you can hear God's word all day. You can listen to it here. You can listen to it on the radio. But unless you do something with God's word, it means very little. Amen? Amen. So the difference here is that one of them acted on God's word. So he said, and one Bible scholar said, hearing sermons is a dangerous business if you don't put them into practice. And I think we would all agree that it's easy enough, especially me, it's easy to listen to something, but it gets really harder to dig in and hear. But it gets even harder when you got to put what you hear into practice. But that's the choice that Jesus lays out for us at the end of chapter 7. We've got to hear and respond to his teachings. Now, if this sounds like you and me, then I want you to be encouraged about this fact. Even the closest disciples of Jesus, they traveled with him, lived with him, ate with him, and it took years for them to really put into practice all the things they learned. So God gives us grace, thankfully. And at the same time, there's an encouragement to listen and respond. I would pray this morning that you would choose to be like the wise builder who builds on a solid rock, and not the foolish builder who builds on sand. So when the storms do come, and they will, you can make the most of it by knowing your hope is firm and secure in Christ. I'm sorry, in Christ. So another story that we can relate to about this particular subject is Acts 27. 1 through 11. And when you get a chance, I want you to write that scripture down. I want you to read that story because I'm just going to briefly cover what happened here. Paul's, in the first part of the story, the Apostle Paul is a prisoner. And he's getting transported via ship and he's going to Italy. But by verse 9, a whole bunch of exchange, we learned that the journey has already been a difficult one and that they had lost a whole lot of time. But listen to this, what Paul says. He says, "Men, I see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also." Dear one, I believe one of our biggest problems is that we don't like to listen to wise counsel. Amen? For some reason, folks try to tell us something we just discarded. I remember growing up as a kid, I thought everything my dad was telling me, he was trying to keep me from having fun. But that's not what he was telling me. He was trying to help me through life so I could make the right choices. So Paul tells him, look, if you stay on board, if you keep everything on board, everything will be all right. You see, Paul was a praying man. Amen? But more than that, Paul knew something about Jesus Christ. And Christ had assured him that everything was going to be all right, you know. And Paul is not telling them, saying, if disaster comes. He's saying, when disaster comes. But just like us, sometimes we don't listen. They just keep sailing along. So, one of the most sobering proverbs that you'll ever read will say this in Proverbs 29:1. Whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Proverbs 29:1. Let me put it this way, the way they used to tell Ted Robinson. My mother used to say, "Ted, a hard head will make a soft behind. A hard head will make a soft behind." Now, you meditate on that for a minute. If can't nobody tell you nothing, then you're just going to have to learn. Amen? And you'll have to learn the hard way. So, in Acts 27:13 through 44, now, I want you, when you get home, I want you to read this story so you'll know what I'm talking about. You won't think I'm just telling you a bunch of, but this is real. So, we see the storm comes, the ship is wrecked, and all the people involved are terrified, except for who? Paul. Paul, who has complete faith and assurance that all will end well. Oh, my friend, the storm's coming. It's coming if it's not already here for some of us. But I would encourage you this morning to hunker down and pray and pray and pray. And hang on to that anchor, which is Jesus. Amen? And don't let folks try to tell you nothing different. You tell them, hey, I'm holding on to Jesus. I'm holding on to him. And I'm not letting go either. Amen? And that's what you, that's pretty much what you, what you're going to have to do. So, but during this encounter, Paul, he went to an island there. And the island, I believe that island, I want to say is Malta. And while he was there, he was making a campfire, and a snake came out, a viper as it's called, and it wraps itself around Paul's arm. And all these people are looking at Paul, and they see that, and they say, oh my goodness, this man must be a god. There must be something really special about him. Well, there was something special about Paul. Paul was full of the Holy Spirit, amen? Amen. Now, don't miss read me and understand me. I'm not telling you to go around here and wrap your arms with a snake, all right? I didn't say that. I'm just telling you what the Apostle Paul, what he had there. And while he was there on that mountain, Paul went ahead, he started a healing ministry on the island of Malta where this ship had been wrecked. And everyone was stranded. And after 3 months, another ship had come along and they were able to keep their keep their journey to head on to Rome is where they were going. You see, Paul had already been told by the Lord that he was going to have to preach before the kings and the queens. Amen. So he knew what he had to do. I tell you, folks, if you're wrapped up in Jesus, oh my goodness, Romans 8:28 means all the world to you. God worked it all together for good. if you're wrapped up in Jesus. Amen? If you're close to him. You know, so throughout this little story, we can see what happens when you made a choice to build your home, your life on Jesus. And we can see what can come from a life that is firm and secure when you're anchored to Jesus. Here is just a few things that are in this story. And perhaps when you read it, you'll see others. Number one, Paul was completely content through the violent storm. He wasn't worried. He didn't get up and run off and get scared. He stayed with the Lord. Stayed on board. That's what the Lord told him. He was completely through the storm, content through the storm, the shipwreck, and being stranded. In fact, it says he seemed to take it all in stride. And he never once complained that his plans were ruined. He was very open-handed through it all. Sometimes when things don't go right for us, we become one big complaint section. Amen? Oh, we complain, we moan, we holler, we scream, we complain, we moan. And imagine the Lord say, what in the world are you worried about? Did not tell you to put all that on me and I'll take care of it. I guess we just like to worry. Secondly, Paul took advantage of the time he had while on Malta. He preached the gospel and he healed the sick. He could have pouted. He could have moped around for 3 months. But instead, he made the best of the situation. And he treated it as an opportunity instead of a hindrance. And number three, God supplied through the people of Malta everything the crew needed. You see, they had food, a place to stay, a new ship, and the provision to continue their journey. God worked all things together for them. Amen? That's what Romans 8:28 is all about. So through the storms, the shipwrecks, the snake bites, and the suffering of life, you can trust God, dear one, to be faithful. He will work all things. Listen to me. He will work all things according to not our will, not our purpose, but according to whose purpose? According to his will and purpose. So when the storm comes, choose him. Choose his ways above all others. And please don't do this. Don't stiffen your neck and reject good wisdom. And like Paul, who knows where this journey is going to take any of us. You might just end up on a remote island somewhere in Malta or even Hawaii, ministering to people and growing in fellowship with others. So, as I conclude this message, I just can't imagine a ship ever leaving port without an anchor on hand. So why are many of us just floating through life with no real direction? We have nothing, no plans. We just go from, as the folks used to tell me, from pillar to post, from pillar to post. So, and perhaps maybe that's you today. Maybe you don't see the need for an anchor. You don't see the need for Jesus. You will if you don't. Maybe you've never had to plan ahead, or maybe you had a relatively easy life and you don't think too often about hardship or suffering. Whatever the case may be, and wherever you find yourself today, I want to encourage you to choose Jesus. Choose him over any other thing, even if it sounds good and sounds like a secure option. I can assure you, but that if it's not Jesus, it's not going to hold fast through the fiercest storms of life. And when the storm or suffering or adversity strike arrive, make sure that you've got a firm grip on Christ, the solid rock. May the Lord bless you. I had a song on my mind, and I'm not going to sing it, but I just want to tell you what that song is real quick. And that's an old song. It talks about the anchor holding. It's something that goes something like, your anchor holds and it grips a solid rock. That song has an awesome message in it. It talks about that anchor being Jesus. And this morning, as we prepare to give the invitation, I want to ask you this morning, who's your anchor this morning? Is it money? Is it people, relationship? I hope it's Jesus. I hope it is.
Because that's the only anchor that's going to hold, folks. Nothing else is going to do. Everything else will be like sand. But if you hold on to Jesus, if you hold on to him, what is he? He is the solid rock. Amen? He is our anchor that holds Alamo United Methodist Church together. Amen? It is him that we believe in. It's him that we trust. I can't put any heaven. I have no heaven or hell to put you. I'm just the messenger. But the one whom I serve and the one whom has called me to tell you that he is the anchor, he wants you to hold on to him. Amen? Amen. So the invitation goes out to anyone who doesn't know the Lord. You may know something about him, but you don't know him. Your heart's not right with him. The opportunity is here. I wouldn't wait another minute. I wouldn't wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come for any of us. So the invitation is all. It's open to all who wish to come to the altar.
Will you stand for invitation hymn? Are you able? Are ye able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? Yea, the sturdy dreamers answered, in the death we follow thee. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like place in paradise. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. We mold them, make us like the divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. Are ye able, when the shadows close around you with the sod, to believe that Spirit's strength comes in the suit of God? Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. We
I want you to remember the words of Jesus that he talked about this morning in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. He said, a wise person will hear these words and will act on them. So this morning, make sure that you build your life, your hopes on solid rock, Jesus, not sand. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Sweetheart, could you come up, please? My wife and I would just like to say that we love you very, very, very much. And we don't do this, you know, for money. We're not doing it for any kind of agenda. We're doing it because the Lord called us to do it. And when we serve you, we serve him. Amen?
Amen.
And I just want you to know that we are
We're in this together all the way to the end. And then I just want to take this time to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And I cannot, amen, and I cannot help but think about my dear friend, George Chambers. I just think the way he loved us. And I can't be George, but I can be Ted. Amen?
Amen?
And that's what we try to be. So we just want to say thank you for all how you blessed us. Thank you. Amen.
And we want to say thank you, too. Okay, this has kind of been off script, but, you know, this is Pastor Appreciation Day for Alamo, but Pastor Appreciation Month is all of October. So if you didn't bring your card, didn't bring your love offering, you got all month to say to Ted and Tessie, we appreciate you, okay? Because we do. After George passed, I had a conversation with the DS, as part of the Staff Parish Relations Committee, about how we transitioned from George to whatever. Because everybody was hurting. It was unexpected. It was a shock. And it still is a shock.
Amen.
It's still a shock. But how is Alamo going to go on with George not being here? And everybody pretty unanimously said, Ted's the man that will get us over this year. Not to be George, but to be Ted. And I think we're very successful in that. You've been in the job for 162 days.
What?
How's it feel?
Okay. Feels,
still here, you still smiling.
Amen.
So, we recycle stuff. This is a birthday bag I have. It's not your birthday.
Okay, all right.
Just so you know. But anyway, we have a T-shirt for you that says, Pastor, warning, anything you say or do may be used in a sermon.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. You're right.
I don't have everybody's email. I know Jen has a computer. But if you have an email that I have, I sent you this probably the office doesn't have it either. Okay, this is 2022, you know, except for Margaret. I call Margaret. Margaret's not using that stuff. But anyway, one of Ted's favorite snacks is advice, okay? So, I'm not giving you much, Ted.
That's okay. Orange slices mean everything.
And here's a few cards, but again, you have all month to do this, people. All month to recognize that. We have some cake. I miss Diane. Anyway, there's cake out there and there's water. And if you have a love offering, you want to drop in there. Michelle's going to have an envelope. You can put some in today. But again, you have all month to make your own individual acknowledgement of how grateful we are that you are here.
Oh.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. And one more quick announcement. My wife and I, we're celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary. That'll be November the 19th?
The
19th. 19th at the, just want to make sure, November the 19th at the Kitty Hawk Event Center. And everyone is invited.
Whether you got an invitation or not, you guys come, because I didn't have enough invitations to send out to everyone. So if you got an invitation or not, please come.
You're
please
invited.
Come.
You're amen.
Invited. Yes.
Amen.
Tom, Pastor, as part of the pulpit staff up here.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sweetheart, go ahead. I'm sorry.
When you do leave today, please take your bulletin with you. We have several of our prayer concerns and also some celebrations in that please take time during the week to pray for your church family. And in turn, we will all be lifted up. We, of course, want to remember all of our homebound people, Esther Goins, Elizabeth Grzulis, Hector Martinez, Eileen Fader, who I see sitting right there, and it's always a pleasure. This is Eileen with an I. And I always have to make sure I get that one straight, rather than with an E. Also, please remember Jim and Linda McMillan this time, and, of course, Esther Berryman. Our nation faces many issues and many times of crisis. We suffer from natural disasters. So many people from the recent hurricanes and things like that. We ask that you lift those people up, that they find comfort and relief. It gets to be tedious at times. Time passes and very little seems to happen for those folks. So they definitely need your prayer. Please pray for Sandy Bundick's grandson, Patrick, Stephen, and friend Nikita Thomas, Gerda Heider's sister, Emmegard Metz, in Germany, Alice Tyler's son, Chris, and his friend, Barb, the Bixler's friends, Cindy and Conrad Murray, and Stella and Delbert Sanders. Pray for Connie Jackson's sister, Juanita Frazier, James Ellis, Joni Peterson's relative. Please lift up David Whipple's son, Ben, and his daughter, Carly. We ask that you always remember our pastor and his wife, who so much supports him along the way. Ted and Tessie are there. Bonnie Chambers and her family still need to be uplifted and need to have our support. Selma and David Sheck, Alice Tyler, Homer Vargas, and I do have a special request from Homer. He has a friend, Reverend Gregory Puente, and Reverend Puente has liver cancer and is scheduled for an operation this Thursday at 9 a.m. at the Methodist Transplant Hospital. Reverend Puente is 74 years old, so please keep him in prayer as he faces this crisis. Pray for Sandra Boykins, Janice Walker, and James Murphy. Martha Rayburn, Diane Skaggs, as she is off traveling back to Oklahoma. Gwen and Bob Clem. Sandy Bundick, Virginia Molinoff. Barbara Whitney, of course, still needs lots of prayers. Pray for Lance Shaw, Norma Glenn, and family. And let's continue to keep Jim and Linda McMillan. I know we talked about them before, but they do need an extra prayer here and there. Pray for Elaine and Jean Bixler, Kathy Bedell, Joni Peterson, who should be on the road soon, and Vicki Bellman, Esther Berryman, and Connie Jackson. But as we remember our concerns, let us remember also that we need to praise God for his answers to prayer. Sometimes it's not the answer that we think about or we look for, but God hears even the smallest prayer and responds. So praise God for all that he has done, and praise him for not just what he's done, but what he's going to do for each and every one of us. And I don't know what happened to Ted. So, well, he... Go ahead, Jean. I saw a finger pointed in your direction.
Well, I've had people point at me before. And I got over it. Well, I said last week I was filling in for Tom, so this morning at this very moment I'll fill in for Ted. Would you join me in the closing prayer? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all that you have given us, dear Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you guide us this day and always to be true followers of you. Lord, we cannot do it alone, and you wouldn't want us to, because you know what it would be like if we were the ones doing it all by ourselves. Just help us, Lord. Help us to be the parishioners that you want us to be. And help us to remember to give thanks to our pastor for his leading of us throughout these years to come. Be with us, Lord Jesus, this day and forever. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And now, would you please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us
not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And as we leave from here today, be careful. Watch over the traffic. You know, it can be dangerous. And let us remember all those less fortunate than ourselves, and remember to pray for those who are homebound or ailing in any way. Be friendly and be safe. And let us join together again next Sunday when listen to the message that Pastor Ted will be bringing us. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Will you stand for our closing hymn? Now thank you, all our God, all three verses.
Now thank we our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom the world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love.
For thy
in peace.
Amen.